Welcome back, everybody. This is Sight to the Blind. But first, I'm going to start this show off. I never expect to see this day, but I'm going to start this show off with Young Pharaoh.
Peace, family. It's your boy, Young Pharaoh, aka Lofi, the Holy Ghost, and this is serious. Seriously, and I'm in here getting Fleekrella. Sexarella on y'all hoes. Yes, coming with them Cheetarellas. Don't worry about my birthday design going to be, but this is the test. It's the spirit of a cat. Why? Because I channeled something the other day, and this is what influenced. Well, one of the things that influenced me besides myself, Jabone. So, half killer in me, half pimp, half samurai, half Cheetarella. And with that being said, I'm getting my shit done. This is the Vlogrella. I got my shit retwisted, and I got lined up. Right, and I'm Sexarella. So, I know how I'm rocking. I got to get used to having these, though, so I don't. My damn face. I like these. They sexy. These gonna come out sexy. And y'all know I had to go to my favorite, the Asians. My favorite. So I'll show y'all the finished results. I'm gonna go off for a little bit. We gonna see if it's busting. If not, I'm a parking lot pimp, outside pimp till I bounce. Got me a stripper pole. See what's chopping. So let me make sure I can still play the game. Alright, I can still whoop y'all ass. That's all I count. That being said, it is what it is. It ain't what it ain't. Wow. Alright, y'all, we halfway through. Sexarella. These them Sexarellas. And they came out exactly how I envisioned them in my mind.
Now, if you're new to this audio, Young Pharaoh recently posted a video of him getting cheetah print or leopard print nails. The sharp kind, not the ones that are, you know, square or oval, but the sexy red Lotto hood chick Cardi B pointed, long pointed nails. Now, I don't know if he's trying to break into Freemasonry. I don't know if he's doing this because he's gone so far deep into Egyptology, because Bassett is a feminine goddess that uses the cat as her symbol. I don't know if that's what he's doing, but I don't know. But if you're new to Young Pharaoh, 7 years ago, when everybody was going through their spiritual awakening, he caught his stride by exposing a lot of foolishness in this world. He talked a lot about religion. He talked a lot about politics, government, some of the conspiracies that went on at the time. He was good. He was passionate about what he was saying. And everybody took a liking to him. I remember the time that people tried to get me to do some collab with him. Like, oh, you and Young Pharaoh be dope. Y'all should do a stream together. Y'all should do a show together. But my thing was, I knew exactly where he was going. I knew exactly what he was doing as well. He even got a name for himself where he was invited, if you could believe this, he was invited in 2021 to the CPAC conference, which was a Republican conference put on about, you know, Jews and all these so-called right-wing conspiracy theorists or right-wing agitators. And he was one of them. He got disinvited because he says something anti-Semitic online. I think one of his videos, he talked about how the Jew isn't the real people, and they were never the real people of the land. And I think from that video, they canceled him. I don't know if he's trying to get back in their good graces, because obviously YouTube is a Jewish platform. And I don't know if his videos are being hidden or his channel been taken down, and now he's trying to break back into being monetized, and this is the way to do it. I don't know if somebody came up to him and said, hey, if you want your monetization back, if you want to make money from your YouTube page, you got to do this. And maybe that's what it is. I mean, it's not far-fetched to believe. I mean, brothers is real weak these days when it comes to money. I mean, the cost of living is going through the roof. Resources is finite and expensive. So it's easy in this generation for people to turn and sell out if all he had to do was just get some nails done. Now, he called himself or referred to himself as Jabone. I don't know if you heard it. If you didn't hear it, listen to it again. He refers to himself as Jabone.
Well, one of the things that influenced me besides myself, Jabone.
One of the things that influenced me besides Jaboon. So, I mean, he said a lot of words, and most of it wasn't even coherent sentences. I think he was just nervous because obviously it was forced and he was not comfortable doing this. I mean, he even tries to back it up in the end saying, I can still kick y'all ass. Like, fam, come on. Jabon means a self-important fool, a tough guy of low standing, or a general outsider or newcomer. It is an Italian-American variation to terms like jabroni. That's what jabon means. So again, is he trying to use secret or coded language to break into Freemasonry by feminizing himself? Now, mind you, I watched him when I first knew of him around like 2018, 2019. And I watched like him do the videos in front of this Sphinx, which whatever Egyptology thing. And after a while, I would check back in. And then now he has the Eye of Horus on his eye. Now he has, I don't know if it's Isis or whatever, it's the tattoo that Rihanna has on in the middle of her chest. He has that on his throat. Now we all know, if you've been on TikTok, how many people be killing people in the comment sections when they get throat tattoos. So he got this Egyptian deity tattooed on his throat now. And it's not really far-fetched if you understand the bloodline of Ham and its closeness to sexual perversions. I don't know why people have this common misrepresentation of what Egypt really was. You can't name not one Egyptian warrior, not one Egyptian general. You can't. The only ones y'all know of is Ramses, Tut, Akhenaten, and that's pretty much Isis, Cleopatra, that's it. Y'all can't tell me no real wartime general, wartime pharaoh, wartime king of Egypt. Not one. Y'all just know of what it looks like from the outside, but you don't know anything about their history, anything about their sexual behaviors or anything. Where we boost them up as if it's like the greatest African nation and of all time. If you actually understand when the fallen angel bloodlines came through, it came through Ham's wife. Which is why young Pharaoh, in his ignorance, being a Negro, being a Shemite, being an unawakened Israelite, goes into the whole, the black woman is God. When you go so far deep into that, when you come out, you're going to be feminized. He's done lectures on the black woman is God, the black woman is God, the black woman is God. This goes along with what the matriarchal, this fake matriarchal society is trying to push. People keep saying they're going against the patriarch. It has never been the patriarch. Never. It's been the matriarch in drag. That's what it's been. The people who run these social media apps and these platforms, these algorithms, how do they pass on their religion? They pass it on through the mother. Matriarchal. Grown men, in order to keep their wealth, these monarch, these families of the monarch, they would change their sons into daughters in order to marry men. They never changed their daughters into men to marry the other men from other royal families. In order to keep their wealth, they would marry their sons as women to other nations. That's not patriarchal. It's not. If you look at the WNBA, the reason why there is a WNBA is not because of a patriarchal society. It's because the matriarch. Why? Because they're setting up the WNBA to accept a man playing in the WNBA. And they have been doing so with Caitlin Clark and with Brittany Griner. If y'all can't see that these are biological males, there's something wrong with your eyes. But then again, it was the fake patriarchal society that got you to accept that all bodies are beautiful. All bodies matter. That's why the Williams sisters have been, or the Williams brothers have been gliding through WTA, the Women's Tennis Association, without being actually called out. Because that's what they are. They're men. That's what that whole 81-page plan of Richard Williams was to change his boys into women's tennis players because there was a rule not allowing you to disclose if you were a female or a male or not. In this case, a male. There was a man named Rene Richards. I don't think his name was Richards. Rene something. He changed his name from Rene, but he was a man. He was a doctor, and he was like maybe in the 20s to the 50s men's tennis player. That was his ranking. And then when he went to women's, he just wanted to be a woman. He shot up to number one. That was the same year that it's mentioned in the movie. He said that Richards quoted saying that he saw Virginia something, and she won. And he's like, oh, did she made this amount of money that she won? But no, it was the same year that a trans tennis player came out and said that he was trans. The entire movie of King Richard is in pink and blue, which is the colors of the transgender flag. Again, if this was a patriarchal society, it would not go down the way it would be going down. You would be trying to get women to go into the male and not the male go into the feminine. And again, this is all coming from the bloodline of Ham. When you go to Genesis 9, when it says that Ham saw his father's nakedness. Now, we all been drunk and we all have passed out and we all been naked, drunk and passed out. Do you ever remember anybody seeing you when you woke up and you know that this person was watching you when you were naked and drunk and passed out? No. It says that when Noah woke up, he knew that his youngest son, Ham, did something to him. So why would Noah come about his drunkenness, know exactly which son did something to him? He didn't say Ham, Shem. He didn't question that, yo, who did something? Who was watching me? No, he said that somebody did something unto him, and it was his younger son, Ham. Before the flood, what were they doing? Were they not sinning against birds, bees, animals? Were they not doing that? So before the flood, everybody didn't really care about brothers being with sister or brothers being with mothers or mothers being with the uncles and the grandfathers being with the children. No one cared because they knew all the story of how they came into this to the existence. Adam and Eve had sons and they had daughters. So the sons had no choice but to marry their daughters, marry their sisters. And then they came out straight. So if you understand the concept of them not really caring about the title of being a brother, a cousin, an uncle, or mom. So when you go into after the flood in Book of Genesis, chapter 9, then it makes more sense that Ham might have done something of a homosexual nature to his own father. Because it was going down like that before the flood. Now, if you fast forward into Sodom and Gomorrah, the reason why it's called Sodom and Gomorrah, because those are names of children of Hamites. And we all know the whole story of Sodom and Gomorrah, how they were so sexually perverted that they wanted to rape the angels, not knowing they were angels, but wanted to rape them because it were men they haven't seen in the city or the town before. Imagine a mob. Imagine you're a newcomer going into the city. You hop right off the plane and you go into a new city that you don't even know of, and you're going to visit a family member. And not after you get there, a mob of people bang on the door asking for you to come outside so they can have their way with you. Like, fam, they're not even buying you a drink or dinner. They're like, bring him out here so we can know him. Know him means so we can anally rape him. That's how bad it was. And they were Africans. You ever see how serious Africans are now about homosexuality, how they don't thrive out there like that? It's because it's in their bones to know exactly what happened to them. I guarantee you it's passed on. It's passed on what happened. Sodom and Gomorrah is in Africa, in Southeast Africa at that. I mean, Lot's wife turned into a pillar of salt. There's salt pans all around South Africa. There's a same crater around that same region of where biblical Sodom and Gomorrah is. The same crater. It's called the Place of Salt. So the whole land, and even when they travel into Sur in South Africa, that has a lot of salt lands and salt pans. But anyway, back to the story. So you fast forward that into Mizraim, Egypt. They came up with a story about their creator God. Now, mind you, they have to know that there was a Most High Yahuwah, and they know about the stories of the flood. They aren't that removed from the original story. But they said they're going to create a pantheon of gods. And they started off with their creator God named Adam. Mind you, Adam as the first man, but they say, oh, we're going to call him Adam, like A-T-U-M. And the way he had children in the Egyptian pantheon was he gooned or masturbated into his own mouth, ejaculated in his own mouth, then spit out the semen, and that was the first children of the gods. Into that bloodline of gods, you have Horus and Set. Set tries to anally rape Horus at a party. Mind you, this is a story. It's like reading a comic book. They're not actual people. But they still created this story from their minds, their ruach, their soul. So Set tries to rape Horus. Horus puts his hands between his legs and catches the semen so it doesn't go into him. He throws it in the river. So in order to humiliate Set for what he's done, he goes to his mother Isis. Isis, I don't know, in different stories, Isis jacks off her own son, Horus, into a head of lettuce because that is Set's favorite food. So there came the day where Set wanted to rule over all of Egypt. And he wanted to bring Horus into it, into the court, so he can be embarrassed by summoning his semen out of Horus. It does not work, but Horus summons his semen out of Set because he ate the lettuce. That is a story that they wrote. So Horus and Set are uncle and nephew. So again, it travels all the way back to the days of Noah, entering in that fallen seed, entering in Ham's wife. Ham's wife was connected to the bloodline of Cain. So over some hybrid mutations with the Nephilim and all that, that's how the Nephilim came through a lot of in the bloodline of Ham. Like Og of Bashan, that's the bloodline of Ham. When they saw those giants, they saw the bloodline of Ham. Goliath, bloodline of Ham. It was the woman's bloodline that was tainted. And when Ham produced children, obviously that Nephilim seed carried on in multiple generations. So again, This is not far-fetched that young Pharaoh is feminizing himself, being so close to Egyptology. I mean, you think of Semiramis, you think of all these, like Nimrod, all that. Nimrod sleeping with his mother and creating the sun, and Tammuz, it all goes back to the bloodline of Ham with sexual perversion and wickedness and feminization of men. So it's not far-fetched that he's now painting his nails with cheetah print and leopard print. Now, if he's trying to break into Freemasonry, then, you know, he's doing his due diligence. I mean, then you could look at it as the sex beta kitten programming of MK Ultra. I mean, you see your favorite celebrities to either in movies, in music videos, or on their Instagram or social media pages. If they're wearing cheetah print, it's to signal that they're mind-controlled sex kittens. That's what it's used for. Like, they're put under a spell, used as sex toys, and then they are snapped up out of the spell. The same thing when they bleach blonde their hair, like a memory erasure. Remember when you saw Kanye and he had his hair blonde? It looked like he didn't know what was going on. He was just out there in public, like, lost. Because they took a chunk of his memory away of whatever he thought he didn't do. That's what he did. And they took a chunk out of it, took a chunk of memory out of his brain, and they signified it or symbolized it by having him bleach his hair blonde. That's what it means. So I wanted to get into what I was reading in Amos 5, which was the Moloch feast days and the sifting that is mentioned in Amos 5 and Amos 9. But I'm going to start with Amos 5, 21 through 27. It says, I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Though ye offer me ascending smoke offerings and your oblations, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. Take away from me the noise of your songs, for I will not hear the melody of your vowels. But let judgment run down as waters and righteousness as a mighty stream. Have ye offered unto me sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness 40 years, O house of Yasharel? But ye have borne the tabernacle of your Moloch and Kayun your images, the star of your Elohim, which ye made to yourselves. Therefore, I will cause you to go into captivity beyond Damascus, says Yahuwah, whose name is Yahuwah Elohai Sevaot. Now, if we know that the tabernacle of Moloch, or the star of Moloch, is actually the star of David, and the Most High is saying, I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies, it seems to me that they have changed the calendar based upon the star of Saturn. Do you understand? They may have changed the calendar based on the star of Saturn, because if they're now worshiping the star, just like Judaism is worshiping the star, that means just like Judaism, their feast days are not on Yah's calendar, and the calendar that most Negroes are following, or Israelites and Shemites are following, are also the calendar of Judaism, which is also the tabernacle of Moloch. This is a different understanding from probably what you heard about this story. Because it would seem to me that if they made the star their god, that they would worship the star and its movement and would track the movement. And they must have gotten this through Babylon, because Babylon would do the same exact thing. And also the Assyrians or Aramaeans or the Akkadians did the same exact thing. Now, it wasn't Kayun to Akkad or Ashishur or Aram. It was called Kaya Manu, which is K-A-I-A-M-A-N-U. And it's spelled different variations, but Kayun and Kaimanu is the same, is the ancient Mesopotamian name for the planet Saturn. Now, they call it on Wikipedia the planet, but the Most High exposed what these planets actually are, which are stars. So he didn't say Kayun, your images, the planet of your Elohim. He said the star of your Elohim. So that already exposed the lies about our solar system. Now it says, therefore, will I cause you to go into captivity beyond Damascus? Now, why did he send us beyond beyond Damascus? Because that, like I said, it was the ancient Mesopotamian name for the star of Saturn. So he's saying, if you want to go worship with them, you want to worship what they worship, go unto them and be slaves to them then. If that's what you want, be slaves to them. Wouldn't we like that? When the Grecians and the Romans came down and we wanted to be like the Grecians, we wanted to be uncircumcised like the Grecians, we wanted to be like the Romans, we were making back alley deals with them. Read the book of Maccabees. So the Most High say, okay, if you want to be like them, I'm going to send you in captivity to these very same people. And that's how we ended up in America. There's a reason why Rome and Greece have the same architecture as the White House in Washington, D.C. I mean, I wouldn't say the Most High is petty, but I'm saying the Most High is righteous in his judgment. If you want to be like these other nations, I'm going to send you into captivity to these other nations. So it actually exposed where Ashishur and the Aramaeans actually were, and they were not in the Middle East. Because in the David Rumsey's map collection, if you type in Agad, which is the easiest one to find, if you type in Agad, A-G-A-D-E, which is another name for the Akkadian Empire, which is the Assyrian Empire, you will see it closely, very vividly in North Africa. If you go to Jubilees, sorry, I'm working on the post for TikTok now as we speak. In Jubilees 9, chapter 5, it says, "And Aram, there came forth a fourth portion, all the land of Aram, Naharaim, which is between the Tigris River and the Euphrates River, to the north of the Kasidim, to the border of the mountains of Ashur and the land of Ararat." Now, this ain't Mount Ararat. This is the land of Ararat. They told you that Mount Ararat was in the, around the Caucasus Mountains. Not true. And the Kasidim, which are the Babylonians, which are the seed of Ham, before the Persians take, you know, became the Neo-Persian or the Neo-Babylonian Empire, they were in East Africa. They were in Sudan. Sudan is the land of blacks. A brother pointed out to me that even in scripture, there was a mentioning of the river Sud, which Sud means black. So the Tigris River is, when I see on certain maps, is near Sudan. East Africa, the Euphrates River is, I would say, Northwest Africa, like a tributary to the Niger River. If it's not the Niger River itself before they probably renamed it. And you go north of this land, you see the Atlas Mountains. That's what I believe is the real Mount Ararat. Because Mount Ararat isn't just one mountain. When the ark rested, it was upon Mount Ararat and other mountains are surrounding it. Like one of the mountains were called Lubar. If you go to the fake one in the Caucasus Mountains, it's just one big mountain. And then there's a little one. They call that the little Mount Ararat. And they tell you like, oh, we found the ark rested upon them. They just show you some land deformation that you may think that a boat rested there. No. Because even when they came out of the ark, they went east. And in the Caucasus Mountains area, if to leave the ark and go east, they're not going into where Babylon is. They're going into whatever sea is over there near Russia. They would have to go south, then east. So from the Mount, for the Atlas Mountains, I believe that's where Mount Ararat is. That's where the real land of the Arameans and the Assyrians were. Mind you, Aram, Arrakfarxad, Ashur, and Lud were sons of Shem. Shem being the progenitor of the Negro race. So if you go to Negro land, it ain't just mentioning us. It's also mentioning Arameans and Assyrians. But they're not going to tell you that because they need to make everything in the Middle East to justify Israel, that fake land. Which is funny, I found some quote that Theodore Herzl, which is the father of Zionism, wrote in like some 1800 paper. It says, "Palestine or Argentina? Shall we choose Palestine or Argentina? We shall take what is given us, what is selected by the Jewish public opinion. The society will settle both these points. Argentina is one of the most fertile countries in the world, extends over a vast area, has a sparse population and a mild climate. The Argentine Republic would derive considerable profit from the secession of a portion of its territory to us." So they're not even going into the Holy Land. They're trying to get into whatever lands is good for their skin. It's good for them, if climate-wise. I remember there was a story or an article, I think a little bit before World War II, called "The Land for the Jews," and they tried to pick everywhere else in the country or in the world, and the last place they ever even thought of was Palestine. They didn't even place it on a map. It was 10 locations. They picked Africa 3 times, and then they went to Canada, South America, somewhere over, not in Asia, but close to it. And none of the locations were anywhere in the Middle East. None of it was even in Palestine. And they even had in the notes, you can look this map up, they even have in the notes of what each land would offer them. It says, "The present infiltration of Jews has certainly produced some friction, and it would be necessary to enlighten the Republic on the intrinsic difference of our new movement. Palestine is our ever memorable historic home. The very name of Palestine would attract our people with a force of marvelous potency. Supposing His Majesty, the Sultan, were to give us Palestine." So they think it's their historic home, but yet they are waiting for someone to give them this land. Not them take it or not them owning it by straight out outright or birthright, but to give it, to have it given to them. And then it talks about the sanctuaries of Christendom would be safeguarded, which means if they erected Christian chapels or Christian churches like they do now and keep trying to validate that the Most High Son, Yahushua HaMashiach, was crucified in the Middle East, they have to, in order to use Christians, they don't have the numbers in Zionism to defend the lies or defend the truth, so they have to use Christians to validate their land. So that's why he's saying, I'm going to make the sanctuaries of Christendom would be safeguarded by assigning to them an extraterritorial status, such as well known to the law of nations. We should form a guard of honor about these sanctuaries, answering for the fulfillment of this duty with our existence. This guard of honor would be the great symbol of the solution of the Jewish question after 18 centuries of Jewish suffering. Now, mind you, they were kicked out of all these countries because of blood libel. They were kicked out because they were taking the Christian children and sacrificing them. That's what they were doing. And that ain't got, they got caught because they were among Christian monarchs that couldn't stand them. Because why? Because every time they came into the country, they would chew up the economic stability of this country, and then children would go missing. All you have to do is look online of all the stories of blood libel that they've been accused with. And these stories go all the way back to like the 13th and 14th century of even artwork showing kids being kidnapped by Jews and then pins being stuck into them and being bloodletted. I mean, come on. You being kicked out of 110 countries, it got to be a reason why you're getting kicked out. And I mind you, it ain't the same people that's being kicked out of 110. It's the same religion and different various timelines being kicked out of countries because they keep going into the economic supply or tearing up the financial stability of a country or a monarch and then being kicked out for it when people actually find out what they were doing. This is why they now have Freemasonry. They wouldn't be able to operate the way they operate now if they didn't have Freemasonry. So now, instead of them getting kicked out and being exposed, it's the Freemasons that are going to get kicked out and exposed. So all these fools running around here with Freemasonry bumper stickers on the back of their cars, as soon as this civil war goes down, this chaos erupts, and everybody's going to know that it's Freemasons that are doing this, because now they're being exposed, and now they're exposing themselves, then it's going to be an issue, and people are going to be running. Just like Adam Weishaupt, the founder of the Illuminati, he wasn't that powerful either. When they found out what he was doing, he was on the run. He had to hide at a friend's house. So you assume that the Illuminati has all this power. Their power is secrecy. And now the Most High is making their doctrines manifest in the light. Now they can't really hide. So now they're trying to change their way of exposing themselves, which they think is their idea. It's not. It's the Most High's idea. They are exposing themselves in such a way to make it seem like it's goofy, it's funny, that they really don't have power, that it's just an organization of men that like to hang out, like at your local, I don't know what they call it, American Legion. Like, it was just some old war buddies that are just hanging out. That's what they're trying to pass it off as now. There's a girl that is much like Quinta Brunson. She's on BET Plus, and she did a skit with Prince Hall Freemasons in it. One of the head mason in this skit was Bill Duke. And you know Bill Duke from Predator. He played Mac, the bald head dark skin guy. And he's also a director. I mean, you saw him on Menace to Society. Like, you know you messed up, right? You know you messed up, right? He's that guy. Well, he's on there as a master mason. And Method Man is in there too, and he has the regalia on, which is the chain that goes around your neck with the star, the apron. So they're mocking Prince Hall Freemasons, which means they really want you to know that there are Prince Hall Freemasons amongst us, like as if we didn't know. That takes away the power from those who are exposing conspiracies. So now it's like, oh yeah, they already been exposed. Like, oh, they're making it fun of themselves. So what are you exposing to us? Now it's coming out. Now they're trying to wake up the lower frequency people. So they're exposing themselves. But this is what it is, though. The reason why they operate is because of Freemasonry. So you have to think, going back to the story of Amos, you also have to go along the lines of where Christmas came from. Because a lot of modern Christmas traditions come from Saturnalia, which run December 17th to the 23rd. And what they did was kind of combine it with Christmas, because they're like, all right, let's make Jesus' birth on December 25th. So since Jesus is a Greek and Roman invention, I mean, it makes much more sense. If they wanted to righteously paganize a holiday and not make and take it from Saturnalia into Christmas, you would need somebody to place over top of that paganism as a deity and as a feast day. So it would also go back to Amos 5:21. I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. So even the Most High hates, I mean, you would know he hated anyway. He would hate Christmas. He would hate the Christmas week. He would hate you thanking the Lord and thanking God for Christmas gifts, or when you have Christmas dinner, when you surround with your family. He was not listening to those prayers. We think he were, and we think, oh, you know, we're blessed, so we were able to put gifts under the Christmas tree. So mind you, so think of this then. All the time that you thought that you were offering these gifts under the Christmas tree and thanking the Most High, or at the time you were thanking Lord and thanking Jesus for your ability to do that, you fit Amos 5:21-27, except you just didn't get sent into captivity to another nation. So when you think righteously to come back to the Most High, you would engage in righteously giving him offerings and ascending smoke offerings and sacrifices. I'm not saying sacrifices for sin, but free will offerings to show that you are on point with his plan, on point with his path, on point with his Torah. Wouldn't you think so? Wouldn't you think like all your blind stupidity and blind ignorance and offering gifts under a tree be wiped out? So you're really starting over. So when you have the same energy, the same love, the same desire to offer to him more than you did a Christmas tree, that's how I look at it. I don't look at it as a works doctrine. I look at it as I'm starting over, so I should show the same zeal that I did in my ignorance and offering on Thanksgiving and offering on Christmas and offering on Easter. I would show the same zeal when I know what the full truth is. But I hear a lot of people give me excuses. Oh, we're not Levitical priests. Oh, we don't have to do that. Oh, we're not in our land. I hear all these type of excuses of why you should not honor the Most High for all that he's done for you and all that he will continue to do for you. I don't see why there's an excuse to it. You didn't have any excuse Thanksgiving, Christmas, and Easter's when you were in the world. So I don't know why this is so different. But then again, all you got to do is go back to Amos 5 for some of you Negroes, and it explains why. It explains why, because you're stiff-neckedness and you just share bloodline with people who truly did not want the Most High's blessings, but wanted the blessings of the other nations. You want to go back in captivity. This is what they call Stockholm Syndrome. Because even when you know the truth, even when you know the righteous path, you say in your heart, nah, I'm good. I had more fun doing Christmas, Thanksgiving, and Easter, Mother's Day, Father's Day, and birthdays. I had more fun doing that. So I don't feel like I have to have the zeal now to do it for the Most High. I wonder why that is. Amos 9:9-15. For lo, I will command and I will sift the house of Yasharon among all nations, like as grain is sifted in a sieve, yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, which say the evil shall not overtake nor prevent us. In that day will I raise up the Sukkot of David that has fallen and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom and all of the heathen which are called by my name, says Yahuwah, that does this. Behold, the days come, says Yahuwah, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that sows seed, and the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. And I will bring again the captivity of my people. Bring the captivity of my people of Yasharel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. And they shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. And I will plant them upon their land, and they shall be no more pulled up out of their land, which I have given them, says Yahuwah Elohaka. That is a future prophecy that's concerning us. So in order for us to understand the calendar, you would also understand the Most High's timeline, that his timeline is not based on the Northern Hemisphere. It is based on the land, and the land is in the Southern Hemisphere. Because in order for us to get back to our land, that means there has to be something going on with our land in order to prepare us for the welcoming party. There has to be a plan for the land in order for us to get back to it. So we must be seeing a timeline based on Africa and not based on the Middle East, not based on Europe, not based on America. So if the timeline and when we come back to the land is based on the land, would you not think that the calendar is also based on the land? Because the land was there before these other nations came about and changed the calendar, changed the time, and changed ordinances. So if the creation came out of Africa, that means the clock came out of Africa, the people came out of Africa. When did the Most High change his calendar, his plan, his timeline based on where we went in the world? If he did not change, and it says he does not change, that means all of my statutes, my ordinances, my feast days also do not change. As I'm saying this on the first day of the first month, which is a new moon. So whatever you follow, whatever you choose to follow, I guarantee it. If it's solar only, you don't have new moons. You completely threw out Enoch 78:14. Now, I don't know if this is a sin, but as Mosai said, I will sift the house of Yasharel among all nations. Sifting. You know what sifting is? It's to shake up. It's to move about. It's to rattle. Like as grain is sifted in a sieve. I know some of y'all know how to sift when you cook. I know you women know how to sift when you cook. It's like that. Through adversity, through trials, what's going to drop? And he's saying not even the least of my people will fall to the earth. So no matter how great you are, how lowly you are, if you are the seed of Yasharel and you are being sifted, even those who want to be grafted in, if you are being sifted, you're being sifted for a purpose. But know this, all the sinners of my people shall die by the sword. Y'all saying the evil shall not overtake me or prevent us. Again, that bloodline still tracks today. And whatever generation this is now, it's still there. Look how our people act who are not wakened up. He's going to sift everybody. Everybody's going to get a chance to be sifted. Whether he called them or he didn't call them, everybody's going to have a chance to be sifted. And they all have their day to be sifted. So the Most High's plan is on his time, and that time is based on the land, and that land is based on his time. So do what you want with that information. Now, a sister asked me, she asked that, was I going to get a physical copy of the Sefer or of Scripture? And I do. I have volume 1 and volume 2 of the Pseudepigraphas, which is the same as the Apocrypha books. I have a physical Sefer, and I have another book called His Story, I think it is. It was like a gold edition of Hebrew Scriptures. And it has all the testaments of the 12 patriarchs in them. So yes, I have all the books if they wanted to do something funny. Like right now you see like AI burning down or tearing up the books and keeping the information for themselves. They're basically destroying the books and making everything digital. So in order for you to access this, you won't be able to access this physically, by library probably anymore, that you would have to go to AI, and I'm pretty sure they're going to ask you why you need to know this. Is it for schoolwork or is it for your own recreation? And they're going to give you some type of, you know, managed or gatekeeped version of whatever information you were looking for. So if they eradicated all digital versions of scripture, I mean, I'm pretty much set. I'm set. I would feel bad for those who are just now waking up and need to, you know, I would suggest y'all get a physical copy because you don't know what's going to happen. Because if they take everything offline and deemed it, I don't know, bad for you, just like they did in World War II. If they took these books away from you, would you be able to survive spiritually? Would you be on point on knowing what to do on each feast day? If you didn't hear it from anybody and you didn't have any social media to go and find out, or you couldn't look it up online, would you be good? If the blackout started tomorrow for 3 years, would you be able to be spiritually stable to survive that without having the word around to know what's going on, or the calendar to know what's going on? That's what you should be preparing yourself for. Complete darkness. If you had to go through darkness for 3 or 4 years, would you be good in knowing exactly the time of when new moons are, when feast days are? This is what the Most High gave us. This is why everything is built like a clock in the sky. So you could understand this. So if you walked outside and be like, oh, it's the full moon. Oh, it must be the middle of the month. If you go to when the moon has got that little sliver on it, you like, oh, it must be the, like, this is how you understand and know without having man's technology to help you recognize the Most High's works in creation. So like I said, I'd be good if this whole place went, I'm already on point. I do a dry eraser board. So I know exactly what's going on, and I know exactly how to alternate the months. I know exactly the years of what we should be doing. I'd be good if everything goes down. That's what you should be preparing yourself for, to be completely self-reliant on your Ruach and self-reliant on the word of the Most High Yahuwah.